Fred Film Radio.
Joining us at this time on the Big Fred Tuesday from the Cairo International Film Festival in Egypt is the artistic director of another Egyptian international film festival, the Elguna International Film Festival, Amir Ramses, who also happens to be a filmmaker and who also happens to be presenting his latest film in Cairo. The film is titled Curfew, and that is what we're going to talk about at this moment. So Amir, welcome to the show. Hi Amir, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
It's a pleasure to have you. And so how are you anyways? What's the situation there? Are you in Cairo right now?
I am in Cairo, yes. It has been a very overwhelming week with the festival and all. We had 3 screenings for my film, and the 3 were like sold out days before it, and it was a total hectic situation. But now it's almost done, so pretty relieved.
Yeah, absolutely. So the film that we are talking about is, of course, Curfew. So first off, some of our listeners may not be familiar with the film yet. Would you like to maybe say a few words to introduce it?
Well, my film, Curfew, it's actually a family drama set in one night during the 2013 curfew we've had in Egypt. It's the story of a mother getting out of jail 20 years after killing her husband and spending the night in a confrontation with her daughter, whom she had practically haven't met during the 20 years. And the ghosts of the relationship rise on the surface again. It's a film about that complicated mother-daughter relation.
I guess this is an unavoidable question, and I'm sure many people have already observed it, but it is interesting that the film is being screened within a year where so many people around the world are experiencing lockdowns and quarantines.
Yes.
But these 2013 curfews were occurring for a different reason, right?
Yes, it was the curfew we had right after the fall of the Muslim Brotherhood regime in 2013. And then since there were so much violence in the streets, there was a curfew that lasted a few months. And this was like the most serious curfew we've had in Egypt in decades. Because even after the 2011 revolution, the curfew was not that serious. People were out on the street anyway. But this one, it was strict and it was kind of scary and claustrophobic, if I may say.
Right. And was there any other reason why you wanted to set your film during this particular time?
No, not really. Well, practically, I needed a curfew. I needed to lock my 2 characters together because there is this forced communication, because these 2 characters couldn't have communicated under like regular circumstances. They needed to be locked together. So I could either think of setting it in like 2011, 2013, our 1986 curfew, one we've had in Egypt also, but that was too far in the past. Or either if I had shot the film like 2 months after I really shot it, it could have been during the COVID confinement.
Yeah,
which was ironic, which would have been much easier. But by then the film was already shot and we were in post-production. And I have to say also that I have a small personal reason, because, well, that 2013 curfew really gave me a sense of claustrophobia, regardless of the main plot of the film. But this is when I started to think that one day I want to make a film about someone forced to spend a night with someone he doesn't wish to communicate with, the tension of that claustrophobic feeling of being locked with a stranger, if you know.
Right, exactly. And it's interesting here in the film, of course, the stranger happens to be the woman's mother. They haven't seen each other in many years, in almost 2 decades, and they connect again after she gets out of jail. But speaking of the theme of family, a similar question would be, what are your motivations for exploring this theme?
Well, I think it all started with me in 2017 when I started writing the script. For many months, there have been like an unbelievable number of cases of, child abuse, sexual child abuse, incest, that were rising on the surface in media, in the newspapers. It was pretty repetitive, like you had a weekly happening. And what really struck me is the silence around it. What really struck me is that usually no one talks except when it gets to the police because of a murder, because of physical violence. But in all the testimonies, people actually knew. And that's the shocking part, that this thing was happening within family circles. People knew it. They never talk about it until it explodes into a different crime. And I felt that someone needed to break that silence. I felt I needed to tell a story about that situation, about these cases. And that's when I started writing the film.
Why is it that there's so much silence around pedophilia?
Well, the problem is, sexual crimes usually in the Middle East in general, but in Egypt specific, are like handled with with a big sense of shame, where the victim herself or himself in some cases are falling into self-blame and into feeling of shame that this happened to them and they don't wish to speak. And then there are the families who start thinking that, okay, we shouldn't talk about that because it's shameful to say that this happened to me or to my daughter or my son. And it's better to keep it a secret for the reputation of the victim, which is ironic, you know, like, which is...
But do you feel that things are changing as times go on? Or, I mean, how's pedophilia tackled nowadays? You mentioned that you started writing the story for the film in 2017. I mean, it hasn't been that long, but have you felt a certain change?
No, I can't say there's a big change. Well, probably the big interest the media showed back then, it raised the topic on the surface a little bit, so there have been discussions, but let's face it, you need to change a lot about people's mentality to really feel the change. You have to start convincing them that it's not the victim who should be ashamed of what happened, it's the person who committed the crime.
Right.
And that's a problem with Middle Eastern societies, that sex is too much of a taboo, that even sexual crimes, even rape, not just incest or child abuse, even rape, blaming the victim or shaming the victim, it's a common thing in Egypt.
But I guess also the fact that the lead characters are women too is significant then, right?
Well, basically, I think women in a way are the real protagonists in Arab society. I know we talk a lot about women oppression. I know we talk a lot about women rights. But meanwhile, I think that in Egyptian middle class and lower middle class and in popular areas as well, it's the woman taking lead in sustaining the family, in supporting the family on so many levels. Much more than men. That's why I wanted to tell the story through women. And that's why even I decided like to remove the criminal out of my film. If you've noticed, you never see him. He's just a part of the frame, but you never see his face. You never get intimate with him.
Right, yeah.
I deliberately chose that since writing the script. I knew I wouldn't want to see the father. I don't want to put him on the screen.
Right, you don't want to sort of have a specific and explicit physical representation of this wider picture.
Yeah, he doesn't have a face for me, you know, like.
So we have talked about how the film explores serious issues, including incest, pedophilia, past trauma, and sex as a taboo subject within Egyptian and Middle Eastern society. One thing that makes me think about is how such topics are discussed or not openly discussed, and the repercussions that has on society. And also what it makes me think about is just the power of cinema as an art form, as a communicative vehicle, and of course, in shining a light on these topics. So what I wanted to ask you, Amir, is do you believe in that power that cinema has?
Well, I totally do. I believe in the role cinema can play in... Well, of course, art is art. At the end of the day, you're making a film, you're experimenting artistic games, and I totally got out of my comfort zone visually here. It was a nice artistic experience for me. But also, let's say with my previous films and this one, I was always hoping like to put topics on the table that no one wants to speak about, like this one here, or probably like the case of the expulsion of the Jews of Egypt in my previous documentary, which also stirred quite a discussion in Egyptian society. So yeah, I think art can do that. Well, it has to be art first, it has to be a good artistic film, but then I think it can have a bigger role with societies, especially in the region, especially in the Middle East.
The film takes place over the course of one night, essentially. And I was wondering, are there any challenges in making a film like that takes place within a restricted period of time like this?
Well, let's say it's a game I enjoy. It's not my first time to play in that format. It's usually not hard, but what was really difficult here is the fact that there's a change that happened within the personality of the characters during that night. So creating that with the actors was the biggest challenge. I mean, okay, one night or 5 years, you have scenes, you're shooting them. It's not a challenge, but how to create that change, how to create that sensible balance of change with the actors was my biggest challenge, actually, especially the daughter character. How to build her up from total denial to her mother, to acceptance, and to the moment where you start to feel that she might be remembering some stuff about the traumatic situation she was been in. So actually my biggest challenge was before the shoot, how to prepare for the shoot, not the shooting of the film itself, because I actually prevented my two lead actresses from meeting each other, like, before the festival, before the shooting for, during all the time of the preparation, which lasted like a year and a half. I was always stalling, telling them that the other person is traveling, shooting, etc., until we started the shoot and they saw each other for the first time on set.
Oh, so right. So they were asking you to meet, but you would be like, no.
Yeah. And then we started with the first scene of the film where they meet and there's the eye contact, the awkward eye contact when she gets out of jail. And I wanted that. I knew that I can cheat with dialogue, but you can't cheat with their eyes. If they get intimate, you will lose the beginning of the film. You will lose the feeling.
And did it help achieve that feeling? Because the actress who plays the mother is Elham Shaheen, so considered a legend of Egyptian cinema. So maybe there would have been a sort of reverence that could have been transformed into a feeling of awkwardness upon that first meeting.
Well, let's say that one way or the other, they both felt like the other one was too busy for them. I know it's evil from my side to say that, but I think there's a sense of irritation that they had before we started the shooting of that disappearance.
Oh, right. I see. Right. And speaking of the emotional evolution of the film, I mean, it's like it does sort of take you to an emotional journey, the film, because all throughout, it's not just drama. Sometimes there are happier moments and sometimes there are the more dramatic moments. So is that something else that is sort of difficult to handle? A rhythm, I would also define it as, of the film.
Yeah. Well, it was difficult, but I guess this is just part of my character. This is just part of who I am. Everyone who knows me knows that I can find sense of humor even in the darkest moments. And, well, everybody was commenting after the film that the jokes, the funny situation really resembled my sense of humor. And that was, I guess you need that in a film. And I guess also, well, Egyptian people, we are people who can laugh and create jokes even in the darkest moments. Well, we're known to be joking while gas bombs are being thrown on manifestos in the revolution days, if I remember. You know, like we used to create jokes even under these situations. We are people who loves sense of humor, you know, I guess. And I guess this is just part of my character that couldn't stay away from the film. I couldn't like make a totally dark film. That's not me. It wouldn't represent my character.
I agree with you that comedy and sense of humor are incredibly important, and they do have a communicative power that is very, very strong, very powerful when it's used correctly.
Exactly, yeah. And I guess also the film really needed points of relief. The film is so dark. I already had like, what, 1,500 persons or more seeing the film so far in the 3 screenings. The number of people shedding like real physical tears after the screenings was huge and scary. You know, like I imagine if the film was darker than this, what would have happened? You know, like.
Right, because generally speaking, it can be also very scary to just in general revisit the past.
Yeah, that too. Of course.
So another interesting thing is that you are also the artistic director of the Elguna Film Festival, correct?
Exactly, I am.
But so the film is being screened within the program of the Cairo International Film Festival. Obviously, I wouldn't think that there would be much competition between the two festivals that would prevent you from screening the film at the Cairo event. But still, Elguna did take place about 2 months ago. And since I have you here, I'd love to ask you, what was it like this year considering all the challenges?
As artistic director of Elguna Film Festival, considering my film for the festival would have been like really unacceptable on so many levels. I'm responsible for the program, for selecting the films. I couldn't select my own film. It would have been kind of incest like the film's story itself, you know. It would have been very weird. For Ilguna this year, I think I'm really happy with the edition. It was a really, really difficult one. It was basically like if you're trying to make the very first edition of the very first festival in the world, rediscovering, you know, how you're going to handle flights, guests, recreating safe spaces for health measurements, trying to avoid any, like, spread of the virus, trying to sort out how you're going to work with cinema's 50% maximum capacity due to the COVID, yet accommodate all your audience, trying to solve the situation for important key persons in the industry who want to be there but who can't travel because of the country's travel restrictions. And then came the virtual part of the festival, which was integrated with the physical one. I mean, it was not an easy journey, but at the end of the day, I'm really happy with the outcome.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.